is Mandy.
And this is Leanne. And you're listening to Two Blondes Loose. Okay, so this week I am going to tell a story which I'm sure everybody's familiar with, including you. But it's one that I was pretty fascinated by, I guess, because...
And it's a true crime story.
It's a true crime story.
Back to true crime this week.
So when these kind of things happen, it always makes me think, how did this happen? Like, how does this happen? I think because when it happens like a normal family, you think it could have been me.
Yeah.
It could have been you.
For sure.
So anyway, they really freak me out, and I always am so curious as to what happens to make somebody behave this way. But anyway, so my story tonight is about Chris Watts.
Oh,
the family annihilator, which I don't really like to talk about that much because I know it's weird to talk about, like, kids.
Yeah.
And it's super disturbing. I'm not going to go into that a lot because everybody kind of knows what happened. But I'm just going to tell the story, and then I just want to talk about, like, I don't know, why. Like,
how?
Because he was, as most people know, if you don't, you can go look him up, just your average guy. So, anyway, okay, I'll get to it.
For sure. I mean, they did seem like a family that we would know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's somebody that, I mean, I would probably go out with.
Yeah.
Probably not when she met him on Facebook. He was a little pudgy. But then he got all jacked. And he was kind of cute. But then he killed everybody. But anyway, okay. Yeah. So let's just get to it. Okay. So in the summer of 2018, Chris Watts and his wife, Shanann, were living in Colorado. So they were both from North Carolina. They had moved to Colorado because they had vacationed there and they really liked it a lot. So they ended up moving out there, starting a family. They had two girls. And at this time, in August of 2018, Shanann was also 15 weeks pregnant with their son. So that is sort of when everything went crazy. But we'll go back a little bit to how they met. Shanann actually was married before. Then she got divorced. And then shortly after, she was diagnosed with lupus. So she was sick and all, you know, a lot. She had a lot of health issues and things like that. Well, she gets a Facebook request from Chris. And they had, like, mutual friends. And she accepted it but thought nothing would ever come of it. But they ended up talking, meeting, and then she just fell head over heels for him. He was everything that she dreamed of. Like, he was the greatest thing ever. Helped her, took care of when she was sick, all kinds of stuff. So anyway, they moved to Denver because for a couple of reasons, but one, they loved it there, and the other, because I think it was better for her health.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, so they move out there. Shanann works for a company called Thrive. It's kind of one of those multi-level type things.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She's a salesperson. So I think in North Carolina, they both worked for a car dealership. She was a salesperson. She's always very successful at that. She's very active on Facebook, lots and lots of videos. She posted on Facebook about her daily life and how Thrive changed her life and her kids and her husband and all that. So she was very active in that too. So, and Chris worked something to do with the oil tanks. I'm not exactly, he was an operator for a company there. So anyway, the summer of 2018, so they lived there. Everything was great and wonderful. They were married about 7 years. And in the summer of 2018, in July, they had a family vacation planned. Shanann, they were going to North Carolina back there to visit their families. Her parents, and I guess his too. He was an only child. And
explains it all.
Yeah, really. Don't say that.
Totally kidding back.
She and the girls fly out to North Carolina, and they're going to stay for a couple of weeks, and then Chris is going to join them at the end of this vacation for the last week of the vacation.
So they were out there first.
Chris was in Colorado on his own. So during those 2 weeks, Shanann kind of noticed that he just kind of wasn't acting right. You know, wasn't responding to her texts, things like that. But when he did respond, what's so weird is that, it's so hard to say it. So the text message, because you see them all on all the documentaries and things like that. And then also lots on the internet. And I feel kind of bad saying this stuff because I feel bad for her. But at the same time, you know, people need to know, I guess. And all the text messages, like, hey, I feel like you're, you know, kind of pulling away. I didn't know where you were, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, baby, I love you to the moon. I mean, all it's so sappy and syrupy. And I'm like, you're going to kill her. I mean, like, by the time I'm watching this or reading this, I'm like, I know it's going to happen.
Like,
this
the words mean nothing. His actions were weird.
It's
and
so
she,
crazy.
She saw the red
I mean,
flags
it was
of
just
his
constant.
Actions.
But he was just, like, it was just, like, overload. But anyway, and she's texting her friends, you know, hey, something just doesn't seem right. He seems off. I don't think he loves me anymore. And she's, you know, of course, asking if there's somebody else. He denies that.
Yeah.
Whatever. This goes on for a couple of weeks, on and off. Also, during that time, she's... There are a lot of time where she cannot even get in touch with him at all.
Yeah.
So she thinks it's really weird. So
that is weird.
He flies out to North Carolina, you know, and she's texting him, hey, let me know when you get here so I can record the girls when you come down the escalator, you know, whatever. Girls run up. They love him. Everything is, I mean, he's all about the family thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're posting video. She's posting videos on Facebook of their family vacation, which, you know, somebody like Shanann, I don't know this for sure, but she was pretty confident girl. All the stuff that she put on Facebook, I can't imagine that she was private. I would think, and this will play into this later, but I can't imagine that her profile would have been private. So
yeah.
Anybody could have looked her on Facebook to see what her life was like.
Yeah, to see that she was married with kids.
Happily married on Facebook.
Yeah.
And really, nobody should think anything different unless she tells them. Of course, her closest friends knew things were not right. But like I said, up for all this time, this first, I guess, 7 years, almost 8 years of their marriage, everything was great. And then all of a sudden, she leaves to go out of town, and it goes, what is happening?
Yeah.
So he goes out there. They have a great time, all that. They come back from vacation. And, you know, things are a little off. She's texting her friends like, I know, it's, I still feel so bad. But
talking about
things
text,
like he won't have sex with me, won't do all these things. And it's like this, she's writing him notes and sending him all these text messages, like this desperate attempt for him to love her.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad
that
reading
really
these
sad.
Things, you know, because she has no idea. And the whole time he's responding to these things saying, I do love you. This is, you know, going to work and we're okay and all this stuff.
His actions speak louder than words.
Yeah,
and
he's
they don't
still
seem
acting
right.
really strange. So then this, you know, really is in like a 2 week period. Because I think they come back from North Carolina maybe like the last week of July. And then, so turn around on August the 9th, and Shanann leaves to go on a business trip for Thrive. And she's really close to all of her coworkers. They all live in the same area. They all go together. One in particular, her name was Nicole Atkinson. So they go on this trip. It's a 3-day trip. And while she's gone, same thing starts happening. He can't get in touch with him. She wants to FaceTime the girls. He's, you know, not responding and things like that. And then she gets a notification on her phone that there was the credit card was used for like $60-something, I think. So she calls him and she's like, what, did you go eat? And he's like, oh yeah. And she's like, with somebody? And he was like, no, it's just me. I had salmon and a beer. For $62?
Yeah.
No. So she knew something just wasn't right.
Yeah,
just wasn't right at
it
all.
It wasn't just him. She knew. Yeah.
So about 1:45 in the morning on August the 13th, she was gone for 3 days. About 1:45 in the morning, Nicole, her friend, drops her off. You know, like, hey, I'll see you in the morning. I think she had a doctor's appointment scheduled for the next morning, some things like that, things she was going to do. And she hadn't been acting right on the trip, Nicole had said. She wasn't eating. You know, she was acting kind of off. And probably because...
She was worried.
Well, she was 15 weeks pregnant. She was worried. You know, she does take a lot of medication for her lupus and things like that. And she's trying super hard to stay healthy for this baby boy. And so the next morning rolls around, and Nicole's calling her and texting her. She's not responding to any of it. Well, Nicole, much like I would be with you, something's not right.
Yeah.
You know, because so Nicole calls Chris and is like, hey, I can't get in touch with Shanann. Do you know what's going on? He's like, oh, she took the girls on a play date. And she was like, no.
Yeah,
like,
not,
that just
she
did
had
not,
appointment.
Yeah,
that
she had a daughter's appointment. I mean, it's the weirdest thing ever. So in the meantime, she's still trying to get in touch with Shanann. She calls Shanann's parents. Shanann's mom is like, well, no, she said, he told me she was at a friend's house. So it's all, he's just, all
yeah,
this
right
weird
off the
stuff
bat,
is
he's
happening.
Telling different stories.
Right.
Stories aren't the
so
same.
Nicole's finally like, screw this. I'm not going to fool with Chris anymore. He's clearly, something's just not right. So she goes to the house and she's knocking on the door. Shanann's not coming to the door. Car's in the driveway. Car seats are in the car. So she calls the police and it's like, hey, I'm worried about my friend.
Yeah.
I know her routine. I know these things. This is what should be happening. And thank God for Nicole.
Yeah,
because,
for sure.
I mean, she was a real friend. I mean,
I got chills.
It'd be like, me being like, he killed her. Yeah, I know where she's supposed to be. This is not right.
Well, if her car's there, yeah, the car seat's there, right, and he said that she left, then yeah, that's not
He's lying to me. Something is wrong.
Yeah, that's definitely not the case.
So she calls the police. She's like, hey, I'm worried about my friend. You know, she's diabetic as well. You know, she's diabetic. She has two kids. She's not coming to the door. She had a doctor's appointment this morning. She didn't go. You know, whatever. So the police come to do a welfare check. Obviously, they can't just bust in the door. So Nicole's on the phone with Shanann's mom again, and it's like asking for the code to the thing. In the meantime, they've called Chris, and Chris is like, I'm however many minutes away, I'm on the way there. And Nicole even tells the policeman, she's like, something's not right, because he told me one thing and told her mom another.
And her car's here.
And her car's here. She's like, the girls are two and three.
No pun intended, that's the dead giveaway.
The girls are two and three. Where are they going to go without car seats? So the mom, Shanann's mom, gives Nicole the code to the garage. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, Nicole's doing this. About that same time, well, the policeman calls Chris, like, how far out are you? About that time, Chris pulls up. So it's about this same thing. Well, Chris kind of meanders around the truck for just a second, like, no hurry, hello. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and no then, hurry, my wife's
you
missing
know, runs up and just looks normal Joe Blow. Hey, how you doing? You know, I'm Chris or whatever. Goes to the door and opens it. You walk in this house and it looks like it's staged to be sold. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing warm and inviting about this home. It's like everything's in its place. Like, no toys to be seen. No, nothing. Every, like, you know, eight pillows on the sofa, and they're all, everything is just so.
Yeah.
And it just is odd when you, I don't remember.
That is odd.
I don't know if I would find it so odd if I didn't already know what happened, but now I'm like, that's really, I mean, who lives like that? Somebody lives there, you know? Mm-hmm. So they go in, they're looking around. He's telling the policeman, you know, I left at 5:15 this morning or whatever. That's what time I usually leave to go to work. And they're walking around the house looking. Nothing is out of place. And Chris Watts walks in his, makes my stomach turn, walks in his daughter's room, like, their blankies are gone. And then finds Shanann's cell phone. He's like, this is her lifeline. And the whole time, he knows.
Yeah,
he knows. And he is, like, so, he's not really composed. Now, looking back on it, he's a little, he's acting a little weird. But you never know how you're going to act in that situation. You know, it's not really all, not really fair to really judge that. And so, finds her purse, her phone, and all that. And then Nicole, the best friend, mm-hmm. looks in her purse. She's like, all her medicine's here. Something's wrong. This is all her medicine.
Yeah.
She didn't go anywhere.
And her phone. She's definitely...
Her phone's here. All her medicine's here. Not unpacked from the trip. Like, her suitcase is sitting there still zipped up. And something is definitely wrong. So then, I don't know if it was Nicole. Nicole's son was there, too. And I don't know if it was one of those two that said, hey, the neighbor has a surveillance camera. Mm. So they all go over with the policeman. And this neighbor is hilarious. He's, like, pointing out stuff on the TV. Like, you can see right here, you know. And he's backing his truck up and... blah, blah, blah. And Chris is the whole time is on his phone, like, just standing there on his phone. And
wonder who he's texting, you know.
And then puts his hands up like this and just acting. All of a sudden, he gets really weird. And then he starts telling the police, and he starts explaining his, like, what's going on in the surveillance or the video. He's like, I loaded my truck up with my coolers, my blah, 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 you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, nobody cares. I mean, it's like he was overselling what he was doing.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, thanks. And everybody leaves, but the policeman kind of hangs back a minute. And the neighbor calls Chris Watts out from the get-go, mm-hmm. says, he ain't acting right. Like, says it
in front of the police.
Yeah, because the policeman had on a body cam thing.
Yeah.
He was like, he's not acting right. Something's not right. He's never that fidgety, and he never talks that much. Something's not right. And I was like, dadgum, neighbor.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, nobody was going to let Chris Watts get away with crap.
Yeah.
So anyway.
That is crazy, because... You don't know for sure, but he was like, you know, right off the bat.
Yeah. So anyway, this whole thing goes on August 13th. I mean, this all kind of, I mean, he's not a very good planner at all.
Yeah.
So that same day, or I guess the next day, you know, of course, camera crews are there. They're coming in with, like, dogs sniffing around to see what, you know, if there's anything in there.
Like, or cadaver dogs or their scent.
Yeah. And, you know, Chris gets on the camera and he's like, no expression. He's like, come home. I want my family home. This does not feel like a home without you. I need my family. I'm like, Now looking back, and I'm like, oh my God.
It was robotic. Yeah.
Yeah. So whatever. So the police bring him in for questioning, obviously, because they're, you know, the husband's always the first suspect. So they bring him in for questioning. They ask him these things, and, you know, he's like, well, you know, we had a conversation about, you know, separating and blah, 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 but, you know, nothing terribly horrific. And they're like, well, we need to give you a polygraph. And the I cannot think of the girl's name now. I should remember because I've read so much about it. But the detective, she works actually for the Colorado Bureau of Investigations and looks just like my nurse practitioner. But anyway, she's a badass. She made him feel like they were best friends and gave him the polygraph and asked him all these questions, you know, or whatever. And then comes back in afterwards and is like, okay, this is the deal. You lied. I know you lied. You know you lied. Everybody knows that you're lying. So you tell me what happened. And then, of course, he keeps denying it and denying it and denying it. She's like, come on. I mean, she never let, I mean, did not cut him any slack. She's like, you knew you were lying before you started lying. Like, you're lying. So he didn't admit anything. He wanted to talk to his dad.
Okay.
He's like, can I talk to my
dad? And they're recording this room the whole time.
Yeah, they're recording the whole time. And so he's like, he wanted to talk to his dad. His dad comes in, you know, it's like, something you want to tell me? Like, what's going on? And he has the nerve to say she hurt the girls. Yeah. So he... But first of all, sorry, let me back up a little bit. So this investigator already put that in his head. Yeah. Like she said that. She was like, I mean, did something happen? Did she hurt Chris? Did she hurt the girls? And you felt like you had to do something to her? And then she even said in an interview later, she was like, I was wondering which way he was going to go with. She was like, I watched that, talking to his dad. And I was like, that's it. He went with exactly what I just put in his head.
Yeah.
He was like, she, you know, she hurt the girls and I snapped and blah, 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 or whatever. So he's blaming it on them. So they come back in. The investigator, or two investigators, and he was like, look, I did cheat on her, you know, or whatever.
He did come out and say
he came out and said it. They did know. They're like, look, we knew that before we even gave you the polygraph. We already knew about
that was fast.
Her. Yeah, they're like, we already knew about her.
Because it's either money or, you know, somebody else.
Yeah. They're like, we...
With a husband, at least.
Yeah,
or domestic, yeah.
We already knew about that, so, yeah, we already knew about her. So tell us about that. And her name was also Nicole. And they worked together. So they kind of started their relationship up, I think, in June. So about a month before the North Carolina trip. And I guess he was he kept it pretty, you know, secret so that, you know, Shanann didn't really know what was going on. And then whenever Shanann went out of town is when he really ramped it up. Like, they went on a vacation, these sand dune things.
Oh, my God.
There's a video of her, like, Christopher, I'm so glad you're here with me. I love you. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, get a divorce. Golly.
Yeah, so according to her, he was telling her that they were separated and they were getting a divorce. I think whenever she went to Arizona, he told her the divorce was final. But she went to their house. She saw family pictures. And like I said earlier, that's why I was saying that. Shanann Watts was not a private person on Facebook. She could have gone right on Facebook
and
seen
into all the videos of them together. Yeah.
Days before he tells her this, they're on the beach together, hugging and kissing and family time and all that stuff. Nothing indicated that. Now, do I think she had anything to do with what happened to Shanann and the kids? Probably not.
Yeah.
Do I think she was a catalyst that made him snap for it?
Yeah, I mean, but, yeah, you're no, there's no way that she didn't look at her social media, like you said.
Yeah, I know.
She knew that he was...
So much weird stuff.
He probably manipulated her, though, into believing that, you know, he was going to end it, but...
Well, the thing is that he was always, according to everybody, always a very submissive person, like, very submissive to women. So, those are a lot of the times the men who... really do snap because they always just kind of go with the flow.
The quiet ones.
Yeah, they go with the flow, very submissive to what the woman wants. They don't put up a lot of fight, none of that stuff. And then they just take and take and take and take till they just can't take anymore. So the night that Shanann comes home from Arizona, she comes home and then, according to Chris, they have sex.
Yeah.
Because he wants to put her at ease. This is what he says. I listened to his confession tapes, like from prison. This, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy. They have sex to put her at ease so she'll go to sleep. He said that he already had in his head what he was going to do to her, not the girls. But she was pregnant.
Yeah.
But apparently he was freaked out about this third baby, thought he wanted it, didn't want it. What he really didn't want was any of it, and he wanted this...
New girl.
Nicole, that he was taking pictures of in her bathing suit. Like, hi, Christopher.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she would have turned out just to be as crazy as the next one. Because everybody's got their own issues. I don't know why he thought it was going to be any better.
No,
but anyway.
I know. That's exactly right.
They wake up that morning.
She wasn't crazy. I mean, I'm saying the girl he was actually married to.
Well, she probably was in her own little way.
Well, everybody
was
a little bit, but I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, everybody has their own thing.
He's the crazy
way.
One, though.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
So he says they wake up the next morning, and he does tell her that he wants a divorce. Mm-hmm. According to him, he didn't tell her about the affair. He just told her he wanted a divorce. And she starts freaking out, like, okay, you'll never see your kids again, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And he snapped and strangled her. Okay, well, first of all, I don't ever buy that snapped and strangled crap. Mm-hmm. Because I think it takes like 4 or 7 minutes or some amount of time to actually strangle somebody to death.
Somebody,
so you got a minute to go...
Change your mind.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
You think it was premeditated, pre-planned?
He said it was in... Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
He said it was in a blind rage.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that even exists.
I don't know.
But that's what he says. And then wrapped her up in the blanket... Or in the sheet. Right when he finished, the oldest daughter, Bella, comes in and goes, "What's up?" He was like, "It's all good. It's fine." Wraps her up in the sheet. And
she probably wanted to see her mother.
Goes and gets the girls.
She'd been gone for 3 days.
Puts them in his truck.
Mm-hmm.
In their car seats. And then puts Shanann in the back floorboard of his truck. With her children. And they were like, and he just tells this like, I don't, he's just telling somebody else's story.
That is so weird.
Yeah. And said the whole time they were like, "Is mommy okay?" He's like, "Yeah, she's fine. She'll be fine." And goes out to his job site. On the way there, says he made up his mind to do the same thing to the girls.
When he was going to dump her.
Mm-hmm. I kind of.
Because he knew that they were going to, they would tell.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way. Yeah. There's no way he was going to get away with that. And, I'm going to say it real fast.
Say it fast.
He used their blankies to smother them.
Okay, yeah.
Cece, who's the youngest, he said she just didn't move at all. Because she completely trusted him
when
he did that to her.
Yeah.
And then Bella said, "No, Daddy." And he still did it.
Yeah.
Anyway. You know, and some people have said, he should have gotten the death penalty and all that stuff. But, if any piece of that haunts him... at any point of the day, which I hope it does all day, every day,
yeah.
then that is
the rest of
that
life.
Is a fate worse than death.
That is worse than death.
That
no
has
doubt.
It's totally worse. And he's in some of his tapes, like from prison.
Yeah.
And he also, of course, has had pen pals and things like that, and these crazy women that
women.
Marry
yeah,
him and stuff.
That's so crazy.
That he says he regrets it. He had a great life, and he just didn't know. Like he just didn't know how great he had it. But if that's true, who knows? But anyway, and so he buries Shanann out there, and then. Puts the girls in the top of one of those big oil tankers.
Golly. And then just goes back home.
Well, no, by this time, Nicole's blown up his phone. Where is everybody?
Yeah. Okay, so he's still gone.
Yeah, where is everybody? Like, that's the same morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So while he's out there doing that, Nicole's trying to find Shanann at home, has already called the police, probably like, "Jesus, lady, I hadn't even got him."
Oh my God.
I mean, who is this Nicole lady? She's ruining my whole plan.
And they could definitely track his phone back to where it or pinpoint where
well,
it was.
Well, he told that's where he worked. So
okay.
He said he was at work, this is where I went to. That was his work site. I don't know what he was thinking, but he wasn't, obviously. But Nicole totally busted his plan up. Like, he probably thought, "You've got to be kidding me.
Everybody needs a best friend like Nicole."
Look, Nicole, stay in your lane. Well, I'm trying to conduct business. And Nicole was not staying in her lane.
Thank goodness, because they definitely wouldn't have found her. They wouldn't have found out who did it that fast.
Yeah, it would have taken a lot longer, I think. He probably would have had more time to compose himself, get his story straight, and all that stuff. But I think since Nicole jumped right in the mix while he was still out there digging.
There was no wasting
a grade.
Time.
He was like, "Oh my gosh." And he just didn't have time to, get it all together. So anyway, of course, obviously, he's arrested immediately. He pleads guilty to everything. He never...
trial? It was
no trial, no. Uh-uh, he didn't want to do the trial thing.
I did try to avoid some of it. I did know about it because it was just... it's just so hard what he did to that family.
I just...
His own family is just... Crazy.
I get so intrigued. I don't know if intrigued is a good word. But by, the people who do such... horrible, horrible things.
Because there's no priors, there's no history.
And they're not one-eyed cyclopses. They're not homeless. They're not...
But you think, was there any evidence of sociopathic tendencies? I mean, he's obviously a sociopath. He had to have been and just been really good at hiding.
He really never had a lot of girlfriends before. But like I said earlier, he was a little fluffy.
Yeah.
Before he was a little nerdy. He wore glasses, a little fluffy. And then when he got all jacked and tan...
Yeah, he started getting everything that attention changed. That he had never had before.
Yes.
And it's like,
this Nicole girl, I think, approached him at work. You know, like, hey, you know, like in the kitchen or something. The lunch area.
I'm sure
and
she knew
was a pretty funny. Girl. Yeah. You know, she was real fit and, you know, she was busty. And
I'm sure Shanann was, too, when she wasn't pregnant all the time.
Yeah, really.
Children.
Shanann was super cute. She was very cute. She always had her face done, you know, and she was... on Facebook and stuff, doing all of her things. And she always just, like, praised him. Like, Chris is, you know, the best thing that ever happened to me. I never thought I'd find somebody like him. And it's just so heartbreaking.
She really did probably believe that. But you know how Facebook is. It's kind of fake book.
It is. It is
fake. People profess their love and then you notice
but she
it's like
really
the next
did.
Week they're divorced. Like, no, I believe she really did.
She really did. Like, in the text messages that she sent him, you can tell she does not want what she thinks is happening at this time. Like, she doesn't want this to end. So, Chris gets arrested. He, you know, pleads guilty to everything. He never publicly confessed to the girls' murders. He did later in some of his confession tapes from prison, and that's when he kind of laid out how things played out.
He got off that she hurt the girls thing pretty fast.
No. They never. No, they knew that didn't happen.
Okay, so they just never.
He just never publicly confessed to it.
Okay,
they just knew. But they showed like in court when his sentencing, because he did all that to avoid the death penalty.
Oh yeah, plead
guilty.
Which
he really should have. I mean, if he has any, yeah, you know, if he cares,
if
at
he
all,
has any regret or
yeah,
any,
as, I would have been like, just kill me now. I can't believe I did that. Just do it. Not that I would ever do that. I don't know why I even said that. But, of course, Shanann's mom spoke in court. And his mom did, too. Mm-hmm. And said, you know, I know this is awful, but I felt just as bad for her.
Well, yeah, no, I don't think that's
because she's
awful,
losing
yeah.
a son, too. And I think, you know, I mean...
Well, she also lost her grandchildren.
Her grandchildren. Yeah. She's losing her son. And... You know, I have a son. If he did something like that, of course I would still love him, but I would not be able to wrap my head around how somebody that I was responsible for could do something like that.
Yeah, you would almost blame yourself. Like, what did I do?
Yeah,
you
go what? Everything. Is this our fault? Is this
so
my fault?
So many people are affected by your selfish decision, you know, crazy decision, just because you met a girl and you didn't want, you know, the baggage of, that's exactly why he did it. If Scott Peterson did it, that's exactly why he did it, too. I mean, my grandmother always said, be careful of the quiet ones. And I get what she's talking about now. Because Chris Watts is definitely
one of those.
He was
a quiet one.
Like
quiet
you said, that
and
was,
agreeable and all that. And,
but she could tell. She could tell he was acting different. That's so sad.
She could. And they interviewed Nicole and, you know, saying about her saying, you know, I didn't know.
Okay, so Nicole, the girlfriend.
Yeah, Nicole, I'm sorry, yes, Nicole, the girlfriend was like...
Nicole, the friend's a badass. Nicole, the girlfriend's probably a liar, but
at
least. Maybe not a killer, but
I think she's trying to cover her ass, really.
Yeah, because everybody, she probably is like, people look at her, you know, almost as bad as
Chris
Watts.
Yeah, if it walks like a duck, it's a duck. So if you're a homewrecker, or if you act like a homewrecker, you're a homewrecker.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, could it have been somebody else? Probably.
Oh,
I mean, if he was,
yeah.
you know, didn't do it for her, I mean, he probably would have done it, you know, some other time.
He might would have done it, you know, once he got with her to the next, when the next girl
yeah,
met.
You just never know.
Let me just get a clean slate.
But
again.
She's like, oh, he lied so much to me. And she changed her story several times.
Yeah.
Like,
you can always tell.
Yeah.
Too.
He said he was separated. Then he told me that his divorce was final.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I went to their house and saw the pictures. And I was like, I can't believe that, you know, he's leaving this beautiful family. Please.
Yeah. For me.
Yeah.
It's almost like a triumph, you know, like a just a challenge.
Yeah.
For these girls to see, like, okay, you know, can I get him to actually leave his wife and kids for me? But she probably didn't think, can I get him to kill his wife and kids for me in her defense? I mean, I don't really know if that was her thought, you know. I mean, we don't know that, and that's not fair to say, because he could have just been he was probably going to, you know, try to claim that they were abducted or they ran away. And he's like, oh, I got this clean slate now for me and my girlfriend to be together. So that's just sick.
But for whatever reason, Shanann's parents sued him in civil court for like $6 million or something like that. I'm not sure where he's going to get that.
Well, you know,
how does that work?
I don't know.
The prison thing, for the rest of your life.
The only thing I can think of is he was to write a book one day. He could not get compensated for
it. Oh, well, according to this one of the shows that I watched, Killer Confessions, maybe, or something, he and his, not cellmate, but his neighbor, I guess, in prison in Wisconsin, have written like 7 books.
Okay, that's why they did
He's
that.
He's found Jesus.
But that's why they did that, because they want to make sure that he never profits from his story.
Yeah.
So if they do that, anything that he ever makes has to go to them for $6 million, and he's probably never going to make that much more. So I believe that's why
But he won't get anything, at least. Like, I mean, if he didn't owe money to somebody.
Well, I mean, what's he going
to
have money on his book? I mean, or I guess
the commissary.
Well, yeah.
About cigarettes.
If he met a girl, like, I mean, because he could have, I'm
sure.
He could get married in prison.
Women are, Scott Peterson is.
Yeah, so, I mean, he could totally give them the money. So, the parents are smart for doing that.
Making sure he just don't get to keep anything.
Nothing. Yeah. He can't benefit from it. Right. He shouldn't be able to.
Yeah, that makes sense. He should not.
Yeah, and that is good that they did that, because there was something else, or like that Anna Dolvey or whatever, you know, that any money she made off Netflix, they had to give to the victims first.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's like she got $300,000, I think, for her selling her story.
Well, he, the girl that tried to pen pal him in prison, he actually gave a letter to his cell neighbor or whatever, and her mom was infatuated. I know a bunch of random stuff. Anyway, her mom was infatuated with Charles Manson. And I always stood up for Charles Manson. And she said so much so that she met her dad looks just like Charles Manson. They showed a picture of her dad. I'm like, oh my God.
The girl that likes Chris Watts?
Yes.
Oh my.
Her mom, her dad looks just like Charles Manson.
That takes the whole Girls Like Bad Boys to a whole
new
level.
It is insane. But Chris didn't want to hurry past her off to his drug dealing neighbor. And then they hit it off and pen palled. And then he got out and they broke up. But anyway.
The other couple.
I've really done a lot on this because I just
you just can't seem you just can't understand how a seemingly normal guy or family could turn into that a monster.
I hate it because it goes to go on looks, but it's not just about his looks, it's the way he looks and everything else. He had a good job, he was kind, he was nice,
he didn't like
doted on
her,
his children
abuse
and
his, her.
None of that, and that's
crazy.
What is so I guess baffling to me, like I just don't, so I just keep wanting something, like, to find something that goes, oh, okay, that's why he did it.
Yeah.
But like I don't think that's there.
Like something in his childhood that happened or something that just made him snap. That
and even in all the things that I've watched and all the things that I've read, it's always been just the facts. And the facts are important, but nobody has ever just stepped back and said, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, how does this happen? And most family annihilators, they call them, are men like Chris, who are... You know,
or Scott Peterson. He seemed
he was the same way.
Yeah.
He was quiet. He was reserved. He kind of went with the flow.
Yeah.
He was very submissive to women. I think he did what Lacey wanted to do. You know, and his mom seemed kind of overbearing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Peterson's. And so it makes me think that I don't want somebody who does what I say. I need a fighter backer. Please fight back because I don't want you to kill me. But anyway.
Just for this, it's the same motive. That's why I brought
that
up.
Yeah, it's very interesting. A lot of it is mostly because does nobody else feel like I feel? Like,
I know. Get a divorce. Like, get a divorce.
How does this happen?
It's like, it's definitely the legal option, and you won't go to jail for the rest of your life and not be able to be with that new girl that you met.
Yeah, and when somebody says you'll never see your kids again, oh, yes, I will.
Yes.
I'm not going to kill you, but yes, I will.
Yes, for sure.
It's crazy. But anyway, so I'm glad I finally got to get that out because I've watched so much about it and I really have never talked about it much.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like I have a lot of resolution.
No.
I don't think I'm going to. I will continue to Google and see what he's doing.
Yeah. To see, he's probably going to get married and
he's fluffed up a little bit in prison and he's real pasty white. There are no tannin beds in there. No, can I get just chicken breast and rice? No.
You're
getting
that.
Slop and no sun. Sorry, buddy. Anyway, so that's it.
And this was episode 11, actually. I forgot to say that at the beginning. Yes.
Was it?
Okay. Yes, episode 11.
Episode 11.
And we, next week, I'll be back with another mystery story. I hope that everyone likes that. It's a little lighter, you know, than these true crime stories that get heavy. And we want to do a campfire story again. So we need y'all to email us in your stories at twoblondesleuths@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, please like. Wait, is it like? Yeah, subscribe.
Yeah. Subscribe on Apple
and
Podcast.
Rate. Subscribe
rate,
and rate.
Review, subscribe, like, follow on all of the social media.
Instagram,
and
Facebook, anything to get us. To get us, yeah. More.
Yes, or if there's any stories you'd like for us to do. To talk about, because we like to talk. So,
and
yeah.
We don't, they can be anonymous too. I was going to say that because I know how, you know, I can understand some stories that may want to be anonymous. So, I mean, we won't say your name if you don't want us to. Just to tell us any kind of like creepy or almost true crime or true crime type stories that happened to you or related that you're in relation to those stories somehow, like in your town or, you know, something that's just always, you know, been on your mind or bothered you, kind of like the Chris Watts story from the end. But
so
just a shorter version, but that's just so we can tell it. And so we can do another campfire story, and we will be back next week.
Yep. Thanks for listening.